Well, here's a twist on things that you may not have known about. Gay folks can't get married in Kansas. The state constitution not only bans same-sex unions, it doesn't recognize those couples as legally married in another state, like Iowa. But here's the kicker. Married same-sex couples in Kansas can get a divorce in one place, and that's in Douglas County. If you're somewhat confused, well, join the crowd, because so were we. We'll try to get a better understanding of all this today with David Brown. He's the managing attorney at the law office of David Brown of Lawrence, which focuses on LGBT legal issues. He's handled divorces of gay couples in Douglas County for some months now. David, welcome. Nice to have you.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
Well, am I right to conclude that this is something of an unusual legal issue?
Well, it's an unusual legal issue in the states where same-sex marriages are not recognized, yes.
So the big question here is then, how could a same-sex divorce be granted in a state that not only bans same-sex marriage within its borders, but does not recognize same-sex marriages legally performed in other states?
Well, it's a somewhat tricky legal question. There are actually three different approaches in the state of Kansas. But in Douglas County, the argument that we have used is that the marriages are valid. They're valid in the states where they were performed, and they're valid under federal law. And all we're asking the court to do is terminate them. So, in essence, we sort of accomplish public policy, which is not to have same-sex couples married.
But okay, but isn't that sort of at the same time tacitly recognizing the existence of same-sex marriage in the state of Kansas, which bars it?
Well, it's not as clear-cut as you would indicate. The Constitution bans it, but the language actually used in both the Constitution and the statutes regulating this are not so specific as to say that when a marriage is performed outside the state, it won't be recognized in the state. It says it's against public policy. And some of those statutes say that the marriages are void. But it doesn't address the basic question of whether the marriage is valid anywhere else.
You know,
is that clear?
Yeah, I think I'm getting it. I mean, to the best of anyone's knowledge, how many same-sex divorces have been granted in the state of Kansas?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, three at this point, and all of them have been in Douglas County. Now, there may be more. Other counties have different approaches. Would you like me to address that?
Yes, please.
Okay. I think the primary approach in most of Kansas is that when a divorce petition is filed by someone who's been married elsewhere, the courts say, your marriage isn't valid, we don't recognize it, therefore that we don't have jurisdiction to grant a divorce. And again, that's in most of this state. Now, there are counties, and I believe that Johnson and Shawnee are two of them, that say essentially, your marriage is void in Kansas, but under the annulment statute, we have the right to grant an annulment, so we'll grant an annulment. And the annulment statute grants the court all the remedies that it would have in a divorce. So property can be divided, children can be taken care of, and those kinds of issues are addressed. And as I said, I think that's happening in two counties in the state at this point, maybe more. You know, people don't call me up and say, hey, I just filed an annulment. You know, it's just kind of
Yeah. Heard
through the grapevine. So.
And those two counties would be what that you just mentioned?
Johnson and Shawnee.
Okay. And you were the attorney for the first and the third of the divorces that you just talked about, right?
In Douglas County, yes.
And where had those couples gotten married?
Iowa.
Okay.
See, and the problem is, you can go up to Iowa for a week. I mean, there are places who advertise now. Come to Iowa, get married, have a fun way. You know, they've got wedding packages, the whole deal, just as they do for heterosexual couples. And people go up to Iowa, there's no residency requirement, and they get married. And they come back to live in Kansas. The difficulty is that Iowa has a one-year residency requirement for folks to get a divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
So that those, you know, if the marriage doesn't work out for whatever reasons, unless the courts here will grant them a divorce, they're really kind of in a limbo, and it's very difficult.
Were the couples that you helped obtain a divorce in Kansas, were they surprised to learn they could actually get a divorce in Kansas?
I'm not sure surprise. Hopeful is probably the better adjective.
How difficult was it for them to obtain the divorce in Douglas County? Was it just another divorce coming down the pike, David, or was it something different than that?
Well, the first one took an extensive brief. The judge had a whole bunch of questions, and I wrote an extensive brief on the status of the law, and again arguing essentially that while Kansas might not recognize these marriages, the marriages are valid. They're, as I said before, valid in the state where they were married, now recognized by the federal government as valid, so that the jurisdictional question for Kansas when granting a divorce is the marriage valid? And the statute doesn't say it necessarily has to be valid in Kansas, and that was part of what I argued.
I'm wondering what our listeners think of this practice, you know, in the state of Kansas where same-sex couples cannot legally marry, but they can legally divorce. What, if anything, should be done here? 816-235-2888 is our number. Again, 816-235-2888. Are all the Douglas County judges, David, willing to grant same-sex divorces?
Well, only two of the judges in Douglas County routinely handle divorces, and both of them are granting same-sex divorces at this time, yes.
Has anyone with the Kansas Attorney General's office, you know, given you or raised any questions about this as far as you know?
No, and realistically speaking, the Attorney General's office doesn't have any standing to do anything. The parties in a divorce are the folks who are married and seeking a divorce. It's a matter between them in the court and the judge. And unless a case is appealed for some reason, no one else would have, you know, and the only person, if it were appealed, would be an appellate court could rule on some of those questions that you're raising. But no other state official has any right to intervene in a divorce.
We're visiting with David Brown, an attorney in Lawrence, about same-sex divorce in the state of Kansas. You know, since folks, they live in Kansas, but Kansas doesn't recognize their marriage anyway, David, why do they even need a legal divorce to begin with?
Because they're legally married. I mean, that gets to the whole validity question.
Mm-hmm.
They are legally married. If you go to Iowa or California or New York or any of the 19 states or District of Columbia that now are performing same-sex marriages and you get married, you are legally married. And until you get divorced, you are married. You know, you have to file taxes together. Your Social Security benefits are attached to that. And, I mean, there are all sorts of ramifications of being married. So that should you split up and live separately and apart, you know, A, you wouldn't be free to get remarried. There are complications for inheritance purposes. The ramifications of not dealing with that situation can be quite enormous.
And if that couple would want to remarry, they'd have to go back to Iowa to get that done, David, or somewhere else that recognizes it?
Well, if they wanted to reenter a same-sex union, yes, they'd have to go to a state where they could legally get married in order to have a valid marriage.
Yeah. You know, again, the first time that you handled one of these divorces of a same-sex couple, you know, was there any acknowledgement from the clerk's office or the judge, you know, as to the fact that this was a same-sex couple divorcing and this was maybe the first time this had happened in the state?
I think that was one of the reasons the judge wanted me to write the legal memorandum in support of the petition.
Mm-hmm.
She recognized that, you know, this was a unique situation and wanted to have a legal foundation on which to be able to grant the divorce.
What if a same-sex couple, you're being so patient with my questions, I appreciate it. What about a same-sex couple that lives elsewhere in the state of Kansas, outside of Douglas County, for instance, and they seek a divorce? Can they file their petition for divorce in Douglas County to obtain that divorce?
Yes, technically they can. If they both agree that jurisdiction should be in Douglas County, then the courts here will hear the case. But ordinarily, jurisdiction is going to be in the county in which you reside, or at least one of the parties resides. So that if neither party lives in Douglas County, then arguably one party or the other could object to jurisdiction being in Douglas County. And the court would, my guess is the court would then say that they didn't have, you know, if folks wanted to go back to the county where they reside, the court might send the case there.
Okay. But you wouldn't anticipate any issues if a couple, say, from, you know, out in liberal Kansas wanted to come out to Douglas County to get divorced. No reason to think that couldn't happen.
No, not at all. I mean, realistically speaking, that happens anyway for many couples. Particularly, you know, high-profile folks will frequently come to an agreement about how they're what they want to do in terms of child custody or division of marital assets. They come to an agreement, and they'll file the divorce in a county far away from where they actually reside by mutual agreement, so that, you know, the local newspaper won't run the little blurb about their divorce, or there won't be a whole lot of gossip about what's going on. And frequently, divorces involve a lot of financial matters, and technically speaking, that stuff is public record, so people like to have it filed in a county where folks aren't ordinarily apt to be looking for that information.
Well, last week I noticed that additional pressure is being applied here when the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, I'm talking about a federal court now, overturned Utah's ban on same-sex marriage. Kansas is part of the 10th Circuit. How tough will it be now for Kansas lawmakers, for instance, to, you know, craft statutes to further restrict gay rights, like the right to a divorce?
Well, that's a good question. It kind of depends on what happens with that case. As I think you're probably aware, the court imposed a stay on that decision, which means although they ruled in favor of the parties in that case, everything is on hold until, you know, some sort of appeal is filed with the Supreme Court, and everybody, you know, all the state of Utah has said they're going to appeal to the Supreme Court. So that the effectiveness of that decision will be on hold until the Supreme Court rules. So once the Supreme Court rules on this question, and I'm sure that it will eventually, there are too many, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but challenges have been filed in every state of the union where same-sex marriages are now not allowed by constitution or statute. There have been 14 decisions in various courts all overturning those bans on same-sex marriage. So the question is ultimately going to go to the Supreme Court. But in the 10th Circuit, and more importantly in Kansas, the effectiveness of that decision last week is on hold. So legislators are free to do essentially whatever they want. I think one of the interesting things about that decision, however, is the court ruled on it. The case involved both folks who wanted to get married in Utah and folks who lived in Utah and had been married elsewhere, and they were seeking to have their marriages recognized. And the court in that case said that the folks who were married already had the right to remain married, and the state of Utah couldn't summarily just say, oops, you're not married anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what's happening in Kansas. Folks come from elsewhere for various reasons. They're married, and the state of Kansas is trying to say, oops, nope, you're not married anymore. And that has remarkable effects, both financially for a couple. It has tremendous effects if their parents for any reason. And this, you know, those issues are very complex and highly emotional.
You know, you and other commentators have been suggesting for a little while now, at least, that the Supreme Court will be weighing in before too long. What's the timing of this? What's your best crystal ball gaze tell you, David, about what we might when we might see the Supreme Court weigh in here, and we actually might get a ruling on the whole validity, I guess, legality of same-sex marriage?
Well, I'd like to think they'll take this up sooner rather than later, but given the makeup of the court, it's hard to predict. The Tenth Circuit was the first circuit court that has ruled on these questions, and appeals to the Supreme Court have to come from the circuit courts. There are cases pending, and I'm not positive how many circuits, but I think at least three or four of the circuits. There are cases pending, and in some cases some arguments have been made, but no decisions from other circuit courts. What the Supreme Court frequently will do is kind of pick and choose and just kind of wait until they get the specific facts that they want to analyze on the Supreme Court level. So whether they'll take the Tenth Circuit case or not, I clearly can't predict.
Yeah.
But if they, let's say they did, they appeal is now and they agree to take it, grant certiorari. Arguably, the hearing date would be set sometime next year, and you could expect a decision maybe 2 years from now. It's a lengthy process, and unless the court thought there's some sort of emergency, but they're not going to do that.
I should just point out that Yael Abouhaka from the Kansas City Star has just tweeted this morning that Jackson County Executive Mike Sanders says the Missouri ban on gay marriage violates the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. So more chatter on the Missouri side as well. I want to thank David Brown. He's the managing attorney at the law office of David Brown of Lawrence. And so good to have you here, David. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate being on. Thank you so much, Steve.
Well, last Wednesday, in a direct challenge to Missouri's ban on gay marriage, the city of St. Louis issued marriage licenses to four same-sex couples. Here to detail how this action came about is Nick Pister, who covers City Hall for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Nick, nice to have you. Good morning.
Nice to be here.
Nick, who instigated this? City Attorney Winston Calvert or Mayor Francis Slay, these four ceremonies at City Hall last week? Who was behind this?
Well, it's certainly something Francis Slay, the mayor of St. Louis, has wanted to do for a long time. It was a long time coming. I believe they said they've been working on it for a year and a half, which obviously Winston Calvert's only been city councilor for a couple of months now. So the mayor, it's really a personal issue to him. He has three siblings who are gay, and it's something that he's wanted to do, and the gay community has been a big part of his base for many, many years.
Well, what were the ceremonies like in his office? How would you describe them? Like any other marriage, or was there something special about him?
Well, it wasn't like any other marriage. I mean, it was there was a lot of anticipation. It was something that I had heard there were rumors about that it could happen in the weeks leading up to it. They were quite emotional. The mayor was smiling most of the time, very happy. In fact, he was actually taking pictures of the couples himself with his cell phone, as other photographers were. It was a real celebratory atmosphere, but also one that you had the sense of that it was something important, that it was the first time being done. And these were the first marriage certificates and marriage licenses that were issued by a county recorder in the state of Missouri. So it had that sense of history, a sense of a bigger deal than just an average wedding.
And absolutely no question, these weddings were conducted in the mayor's office as a way to directly challenge Missouri's constitutional ban on gay marriage.
Yes, that was the whole point, I believe, is to go at Missouri's constitutional ban, which is the first such constitutional ban that a state passed in 2004, and many others followed suit. So this will be litigated, and it could be a long process. I believe the Attorney General said it could be somewhere between 12 to 18 months. And in that time, we don't know what will happen with the U.S. Supreme Court. It's very likely they could take up an issue of some of these similar bans, and their result could have an impact nationwide on states like Missouri.
No question, too, Nick, that Mayor Slay is not planning on doing any more marriages in his office. Do I have that right?
You do. They stopped doing them. They issued the four licenses, and those four couples will serve as the test case that they'll be using in court on this. And I can't stress enough, this is the first time a county in Missouri has issued these licenses. So it's the really first direct legal challenge in Missouri to the state law. There are some other challenges based on marriage licenses that have been issued in other states. But this is really new ground here, and to have the mayor of St. Louis actually, many of these couples had been married in ceremonial weddings and other aspects, but never officially. And they sat in, the mayor's ornate office in St. Louis and did it. The mayor was there. So that really gives a special poignancy to it, but also a lot of heft to it is what is happening in the state of Missouri.
How were the four couples who were married last week, how were they picked, Nick?
I think there was a lot going on. I believe the city councilor's office vetted them, and they wanted, I think, to have couples that would stand up best to depositions and things like that, but also people who were willing to be very public about it. They're stepping out into unfamiliar territory. Their faces are in the paper and on TV, and they could be the subject of a lot of negative comments from people throughout Missouri, but also a lot of positive comments. They were in the couples were in yesterday's Gay Pride Parade in downtown St. Louis. They were received with cheers and applause, as was the mayor. They were with the mayor. They were holding up signs that said "Just Married." So the process was one to find people who I think could withstand all of that, and that's what they hope to have found.
How about protests? What did you see last week outside of City Hall, or what have you seen since the ceremonies?
I have not seen any protest outside of City Hall. I did not, you know, obviously the weddings happened very quickly and there wasn't advance notice to them. So there wasn't really a whole lot of move for people to get there and protest anything. I have seen many statements, particularly from religious groups, the Catholic Church, the Archdiocese of St. Louis issued a statement saying they're disappointed and disheartened by Mayor Slay's actions. Tim Jones, the Speaker of the House, said it was alarming in Missouri. So there are a lot of statements like that happening. Missouri's support of gay marriage has gone down a little since they've passed the ban in 04. I believe now it's around 52-53%. That could go down even more, but still a majority of Missourians do not support the idea of gay marriage, but it's a little different in the city of St. Louis.
You know, there were calls here in Kansas City, Nick, as you know, for Mayor Sly James to follow suit, but St. Louis, you know, has a slightly different government model. Explain why St. Louis was able to issue those licenses and maybe Kansas City cannot.
Well, I think the Kansas City mayor's being a little coy about it because, you know, Mayor Slay did not actually issue the licenses either. It was up to the county recorder. He needed it's actually the city recorder, but St. Louis is also a county, that he needed the recorder to sign those licenses, and he had the city councilor give her a legal opinion, which enabled her to do it. He was very active in the process. I believe the mayor of Kansas City, if he really took it upon himself and worked with the recorder and brought a lot of people with him, could do the same thing.
That's interesting. Now, Attorney General Chris Koster's office responded to these four ceremonies at St. Louis City Hall in pretty rapid fashion. What did he do, Nick, and what's happening there?
The mayor called the attorney general about 8 o'clock the night that they had the weddings and informed him that they had issued those marriage certificates. Koster was in court the next morning saying he's duty-bound to follow the Missouri Constitution. And the Constitution obviously says, you know, a man is a wedding can only be valid if it's a man and a woman. He is sued for a restraining order to stop the city from issuing more. The city's already voluntarily agreed to not issue more marriage licenses to same-sex couples. And so that really is bringing it into the legal grounds, just the whole idea of what they're doing. And he did not petition to invalidate those marriages, though. So those marriage certificates are considered valid in the state of Missouri.
And do we know exactly who was named in the suit brought by the state, or, you know, Nick, is it just the state versus the city of St. Louis over there?
It's the state versus Sharon Carpenter, who's the recorder of deeds in the city of St. Louis.
So essentially, then we have taxpayers footing the bill for this on both sides of the ledger here, right?
You do.
Okay. Any sense what it's going to cost?
Well, it's hard to tell because, you know, obviously both sides have their in-house counsel and, you know, they're paid to handle legal matters for the city and the state regardless of what's going on. So it's hard to say. A long protracted legal battle could obviously become expensive, but that's what happens.
Well, we're out of time here. Nick Pister covers City Hall for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Nick, you were great. I sure appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.